I'm very happy now to welcome to the Radio Cafe Sut Jolly. He is a professor of communication at the University of Massachusetts Amherst. He's founder and executive director of the Media Education Foundation, and he's executive producer of the documentary Feeding Frenzy, The Food Industry, Marketing, and the Creation of a Health Crisis. He will be here in Santa Fe on Wednesday, the 2nd of April at 5:30 at the Santa Fe Community College Hemez Rooms, speaking and presenting the film. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Pleased to be here.
So in this documentary, you take on the subject of the obesity crisis and its many health risks and the food system that's causing the problem. And I think one of the really important points you make in the film is that at the root of food overconsumption is actually food overproduction. What's going on?
Yeah, I mean, what the film does is it really looks at the kind of broader context within which we make decisions about the kinds of foods that we eat. For too long, I think the focus on issues around obesity and people being overweight and being unhealthy has been a very kind of individualized perspective. You know, it's what are the decisions that individuals make around this? And what the film really wants to do is to say, well, you know, the decisions that we make are made in a context, and we have to pay attention to that context because the context only allows us certain kinds of choices. And the context, I think the most important thing to know about the context is that we're living in a situation right now in which government policy is supporting the production of certain kinds of food items, specifically corn. And the support of corn has led to an increase in the number of available calories that the country has. And that comes as a result. And the reason we have those expanding number of calories is not because we need the food, but is because it is profitable to corporations and profitable to food corporations to produce more food. And once they produce more food, the problem then is they have to sell it. And the people they sell it to us is us, and the effect of it has been that we've consumed that food and the weight of Americans has gone up proportionately.
So too many calories are being produced, and these companies, industrial food companies, need to sell that food, and we don't need to eat it, and so they spend billions of dollars trying to get us to eat food that we don't need and that's not good for us. What are some of the methods they use to get us to eat some of this? A lot of it is just pure junk food.
It is junk food, but it's very, very highly researched. Everything that we eat, especially the processed foods, has gone through an incredible system of research where they are trying essentially to make the food irresistible. And what they do is they do lots of research on what it is that individuals like. When you have sugar and you have salt and you have fat, those things are pleasurable to the human body. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to maximize those things. In fact, scientists, food scientists, that's what they call themselves, they talk about something called the bliss point. And the bliss point is a food that you just keep eating more and more of, and it never quite fills you up. So you never quite feel full. And so you keep just consuming. It's like, I'll just have that one more piece of chocolate. I'll just have one more chip. And every time you do that, you literally can't stop. And so the research that's been done is how they can use the cravings that are part of what it means to be human, how they can use those cravings to essentially keep us consuming more and more and more. And that's to do with the basic way that food is made up. And in that sense, Americans, the consumers, they don't really think of us as rational people. They think of us as targets, and that their job is just to stimulate those aspects in our brains, in our bodies, that will just keep us consuming more and more, even without us knowing about it, even without us really thinking about what we're doing. Because the moment you start to think about it, of course, is when you would start to question these incredible chemicals that we're putting into our bodies. I mean, if you actually look at a processed food and you look to, when it's been dried out and dehydrated and you look to see what it's like, it looks like something that's coming from outer space.
I know, you showed some of those in the film.
And it looks like something that's come out of a laboratory, you know, rather than anything else, which is precisely what it is. So that's one way, is the research that's done just to get us, you know, to consume more and more. There are lots of other ways. There's other ways to do with marketing as well that are very important.
Well, the marketing to children is particularly insidious, and there were some examples in the film of one was a video game that was like a horror movie that looked like it might be really fun to play, but it's actually a Doritos campaign.
Yeah, well, these days it's very difficult to separate out and to know what is an ad from what is not an ad. They're called advert games. And so, you know, one of the ways that you can appeal to young people, of course, is through online gaming. And if you can create a cool-looking game that draws people in, then you've hooked them emotionally as well. Because it's not just this ad that's coming at them. And you know, young people these days, I mean, they think they're way too smart for ads. You know, they think that no ad has ever influenced them because, you know, they're way too savvy for it. So marketers have to get into the consciousness of kids in other ways. And one of the ways they get in, of course, is through kids' culture. They get in through the things that the kids and young people do. Video games is one. But, you know, another thing is, especially for young kids, characters are very important for kids. Childhood characters, I mean, they're a very important part of how kids grow up. And the more you can make those childhood characters connected to a product and connected to a brand, you've then now emotionally hooked kids into a brand through what they really need, which is emotional contact with these characters. So there's a host of different ways that both, I mean, I don't think it's just kids, I think adults as well are hooked into this. And, you know, the end result is that our weight, the average weight of Americans, you know, has been going up and up and up, despite the fact that we know that this stuff is not particularly good for us.
The film also points out that these same companies that are selling us food that isn't good for us and that makes us want to eat compulsively and provides very little nutrition, part of their marketing is to put words on the labels that seem healthy, like fiber and omega. Why don't they just go ahead and sell us healthy food?
Well, they can't sell us healthy food because healthy food costs them too much. It's much easier for them to sell us the junk that they can make very cheaply, and partly they can make it very cheaply because of the subsidies that the government is giving. Now, I think it's very important to realize that the reason why vegetables and fruit cost more than the processed food is because the government is subsidizing the production of processed food, and it is not supporting the production of healthy food. I mean, it's crazy. It really is a crazy situation. If you were to say, you know, government policy should really be to encourage the production and consumption of those things that are healthy for the population, you'd look at the way our food subsidies work, and it'd be exactly the opposite. The only people the food subsidies work for are corporations who generate huge profits because of those subsidies. But again, you know, people are aware as a result of the work of a lot of activists and people, you know, media literacy organizations who focus on issues around food. I mean, you've got a great one in Albuquerque, the Media Literacy Project.
Yeah, they're a co-sponsor of this event tomorrow night.
Yeah, and they are they do, you know, major work around creating curriculum that educates people around food issues. And I think there's been a whole host of different organizations that have done that. So we're now actually aware of the kind of health issues connected with junk food. And so what you know, advertisers and corporations have to do is, when they're thinking of advertising now, they now realize that the people they're advertising to are, in one sense, aware that what they're consuming is actually not good for them. That these health issues, you know, have become part of how people make choices about food. And so they have to fool us into thinking that when we're consuming these junk foods that are really, really bad for us, that somehow we're also making healthy choices. And which is why they'll then, you know, you'll see omega-3s on an ingredient that we think is healthy being highlighted. Or there may be a label that indicates as though this is a healthy option. I mean, the labels are very interesting. You know, the labels are they're not government labels. The labels are just made up by ad agencies as ways to fool us into thinking that what we're eating, you know, might be healthy for us. But again, I think part of that is we're involved in a battle right now around issues to do with food and how we think about food. And to the extent that corporations are kind of having to, you know, sell themselves or having to sell junk food as healthy, means that there has been some change in how people think about these issues and that they're starting to think about diet choices and food choices in terms of health. And what corporations have to do, you know, a sensible solution to this would be say, well, let's just make healthy food. That way everyone wins. But food companies can't do that. Because if they do that, they would end up, their profits would go down. And so what they have to do is they have to sell us the same junk that's going to eventually kill us, but they sell it now as healthy. It's a great contract.
And as you point out, some of the same companies that make really unhealthy, fattening food also make Slim Fast.
Yeah, there's someone in the film called Raj Patel, and he says, you know, I mean, they get you going and, you know, going and coming. So at the same time that they're selling us the food that's going to make us fat, they're also selling us the solution to this in terms of the slimming products as well. So they're winning all around. And again, for them, for food companies and, or, you know, for the corporations who have these other things, I mean, it's really important, I think, for people to know that the last thing on the minds of corporations is the health of consumers. Consumers really need to start thinking of themselves as the enemies of the food industry, because that's how the food industry thinks about the consumers. They don't think about them as friends. They don't think about them as people we have to help make healthy choices. They think about them as an enemy that we just need to get their money from. And I think the best defense on that is education. And then people, I think, need to start thinking about, okay, how can we really start taking control of our food environment? Because if you think about it, food is the basic source of everything. I mean, the choices we make around food have to do with what we put into our bodies. And the health of our bodies is going to determine what else we do, where we put our energy, you know, what kinds of things we're going to struggle over. And if you can get people not to think about what goes into their bodies, those bodies are just going to be more and more unhealthy, and they're not going to be able to do the kinds of work that you really need to be able to do to make a decent life.
We're talking to Sut Jolly about the film Feeding Frenzy. On the one hand, it's very important for us as citizens and as eaters to start making conscious choices and to really buck the system in whatever ways that we are able to, whether it be local farmers markets or growing our own foods. On the other hand, there are some limits to personal responsibility, which are talked about at some length in the film. What's wrong with personal responsibility?
Well, there's nothing wrong with personal responsibility. The question is, what's the context within which you make the choices around that? Because we have a limited number of choices. You know, you can either buy this product or you can buy that product. That's not really a choice. And a real, I think, democratic system would give us real choices, would give us the choices to be able to make healthy options or make healthy choices that are as cheap as the unhealthy ones. And that comes down to what are we willing as a society to support? What is the government going to do? The government as our spokesperson, the government as the body that is supposed to represent the public interest. How can the government then take action that is going to really increase the choice that individuals have? So that, you know, there's nothing wrong with personal responsibility, but it's we don't have the context. We don't make choices in a place where we really have the whole range of choices that we should be able to make.
How is that? I mean, if you go into a supermarket, even if it's not some kind of local co-op or something like that, you can still eat healthy food there. You can buy your lettuce and make a salad. You can buy lean meats and you can make, I mean, in the worst junk food selling sugared cereal supermarket, you don't have to buy that stuff.
Well, one thing is it's going to be more expensive. And it's not going to have the entire force of the marketing system behind it telling you that, you know, that you should be buying these healthy foods. All that stuff is somewhere else, and all that stuff is in other is in parts of the supermarket where it's been designed to sell you those things. So yes, though you can make those choices, but those choices are much harder to make. And you know, I think the question I would have is, how would you could you envision a situation in which the choices, the healthy choices, are as easy to make, are as cheap to make, as are the other ones? And that's only in some supermarkets. There are places in the country that actually don't have access to supermarkets. People talk about something called food deserts. And food deserts are normally poor. Those places are normally places where black and brown people live, where, in fact, you don't actually even have access to things like fresh fruit. All you have is access to the junk food. And I think, again, if we really wanted to talk about personal responsibility, and if we really wanted to talk about the kinds of choices that people would really have, is, okay, let's give people real choices. Let's give people the choices to really have healthy options that are going to be as cheap, that are going to be as easy to make as making decisions around junk food.
It's funny, there's a map in the film Feeding Frenzy of the states with the most obesity, and it goes over time, and especially certain parts of the country, all the parts of the country, but certain are really getting heavier and heavier, and it's the red states, which hold conservative ideas about personal responsibility, that seem to be the states with the most obesity.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not too sure if it's to do just with the red states. I think what I would point to is, well, what's happening in, what's the food context in those states? What is the food that's available to people to eat? So I don't really think it's to do with the kind of political views of people in those states. It's to do with things like poverty. It's to do with things like, you know, where fresh fruit is available, etc. But it is, as you said, it's kind of ironic in that the places that would stress personal responsibility the most are the ones that initially you can see the weight going up in the country.
I mean, it just, to me, and this is sort of an aside, but it goes along with some other things, like the most Christian states have the highest divorce rate, and the states that are most anti-government need the most government assistance, and somehow it seems to be part of that whole set of ironies.
Yeah, no, it's a strange set of strange set of contradictions. I mean, I think personal responsibility and individual choice, you know, I mean, those are really American things. You know, those are really American values. And I think if you really wanted to live up to American values, what you need, in fact, is to create a situation where you have real choice. You need to create a situation where, in fact, what you do, where personal responsibility really matters. And to do that, in fact, requires then action by government. It requires regulation precisely to enhance individual freedom. And I think that that's the kind of strange thing that, you know, you get in the American context in particular, is that anything that, you know, the government does is seen as evil and as against individual choice. Whereas, in fact, in most places in the rest of the world, it's recognized that to give individuals real choice and to give individuals real freedom requires the society as a whole to set up certain kinds of structures so you can enhance freedom. But America is a very strange political culture whereby anything the government does is vilified almost straight away.
What's an example of regulation giving us greater freedom in the context of food?
Well, if you could give subsidies to people who wanted to grow fruit and grow vegetables and make it easy to get those products into the supermarkets or into shops or into corner stores in neighborhoods so that it's as easy to reach for an apple as it is to reach for a Dorito, that would be an example of how you could take, how collective action could lead to more individual freedom. I mean, if individual freedom is about the choices that you make, then you have to enhance the choices. And the choices shouldn't just be between this brand of chips and that brand of chips. The choices should be between this brand of chips and a vegetable, this brand of chips and some fruit. And so the question would be, how can you change the situation so you really have that kind of choice? And it would be easy to do. It will be easy to do. I mean, what's lacking is not ideas. There's lots of people who would be able to come up with ideas of what we should do. What's lacking is political will. What's lacking is, well, actually, it's not political. What's lacking is, you know, lobbyists in Congress for fresh fruit and for vegetables. There's lots of lobbyists for junk food. There's lots of lobbyists for corn there, which is why the government keeps supporting this really, really unhealthy system of food production.
What if instead of subsidizing fresh fruit, you were just to take away the subsidies to corn and soy and things like that?
Well, then you would actually be having them compete on a kind of level playing field. But I think that still wouldn't quite work, because in one sense, it's actually cheaper to produce this processed food than it is actually to grow fresh fruit.
Even with no subsidies? I mean, fresh fruit, you grow it in the ground, you ship it to a market and you sell it. Junk food, you grow it out of the ground, you put it in factories, you cut down trees to make paper boxes. I mean, there's huge amounts of production costs involved. Why would it still be cheaper if it weren't subsidized?
There are, but in terms of the scale in which it's done, I mean, it is one of these strange things where, in one sense, the more you produce, the cheaper it is to produce it. That's why we've gone, for example, if you want to see one example of this, you know, that's why we've gone in fast food restaurants. We've gone from the normal size of a soda in the last, you know, 20 years from what is now considered a small is what was considered a large in the old days, which is why when you go to a fast food place and they ask you if you want to supersize that or you want to get the next level up, is because even though you may get 50% more in the soda, it only costs the corporations a few cents to make that extra 50%. And partly it's to do with the nature of stuff that comes out of laboratories rather than stuff that comes out of the ground. But I agree with you. I think taking the subsidies away would be an important first step. But again, I think it's not just a matter of taking subsidies away. It's a matter of okay, where do we want to really, I mean, as a society, and yeah, we decide we want to support certain things. We decide, you know, we think that everyone should have an education up to the age of 18. And we're willing to, in fact, fund that. We're willing to support that because that's what civilized societies do. And I think if you think in the same way around, okay, what would the government do? What would collective action be that would enhance the basic human rights of people? I think issues around food would be some of the most important things to think about.
And really, the cost to society of not doing so, both the human and the economic costs, are unfathomably gigantic.
They are. They're unfathomably gigantic. But in one sense, the people who make the decisions around fast food and make the decisions around junk food don't really care about it. What they care about is their returns, you know, their quarterly returns. Corporations and corporate executives, they're not capable. I mean, literally, they're not capable of thinking 5-10 years down the road. They're not capable of thinking about the costs of the society. Because for them, that is an externality. That's something that, you know, that doesn't matter to them. All that matters to them is their quarterly profits. I mean, looking at it rationally, it's insane that we should have, that you make decisions in this way. If you want to think about the way corporations make decisions or what a corporation is kind of like a psychopath. That is, all they care about is their own profits. They care nothing about the health and well-being of the society, the health and well-being of people outside that. And that's what a psychopath does. A psychopath is incapable of thinking outside of their own interests. And, you know, what we've done is we've made this really strange decision where the central actors in the society are acting not for the good of the society as a whole. They're acting for their own narrow interests. With incredible results. Not only is it going to cost huge amounts in healthcare costs, not only are you going to have a third of American children developing symptoms of diabetes in their lifetime, but people are going to die much earlier than they need to. I say in the film, you know, this is going to be the first generation where kids are going to die at younger ages than their parents did. Americans should really think about that and look and say, how can the richest society that has ever existed, how can we be going backwards in this way? Something is really out of whack.
I was watching the film and thinking that obesity is, in a way, a perfect metaphor or symbol for the growth imperative in a capitalist system. If you're required to grow your profits by continually selling more food, you are creating literal growth, namely people getting heavier. And it's such a clear example of the limits and folly of infinite growth, instead of having a stable state where, I mean, in this case, we produce and eat the amount of food that we need, which for each person, for each adult anyway, it's a steady number. It's not ever going to increase.
No, I agree with you. I think that's the growth imperative. I mean, we're seeing the growth imperative in our bodies, and not only in our own bodies, we're seeing the growth imperative in the bodies of our kids. And at some point, as you say, I mean, I think we have to, you know, infinite growth will lead to, well, it'll lead to what we have. It will lead to our bodies expanding beyond what we're capable of surviving. It will lead to a society expanding beyond what we are capable of surviving. It will lead to a planet essentially, you know, exploding at the seams. And I think we're coming to that right now. So I think I agree with you. I think, you know, even though they seem to be very, very, very different things, I think that, you know, thinking about the human, the metaphor of the human body, I think is also a good metaphor for thinking about the planet as well.
Right. Yeah, I mean, literally bursting at the seams. We bust out of our clothes. We bust out of our ability to live within our means. And one of the other horrifying things that is touched on in the film is the fact that as Americans, to some extent, start making healthier choices, and there's still this overproduction of unhealthy or, well, junk food, that food then looks for extra markets, or those corporations look for extra markets, and it gets shipped to the third world.
No, exactly. I mean, I think this is becoming a global issue. You know, many people now who deal with food issues around the world, and we were always used to thinking about food issues, especially, you know, in the developing world, as issues to do with scarcity. And they're now actually shifting around. They're actually issues to do with food, actually, are no longer just limited to food scarcity, even though, of course, that's still very, very important. I mean, as we're talking about our bodies expanding, we have to realize that there's significant parts of the world that don't have enough food at the same time that we're over-consuming in this way. But there's also significant parts of the world where the problems that we see as Americans to do with obesity, to do with the growth of cancer, to do with, you know, all these other related issues, where those are also spreading now around the world. It is actually a really frightening prospect in which, again, it's that profit motive. This was profit that's driving this. And profit has no morality. Profit doesn't think about safety. Profit doesn't think about human beings. Profit thinks only about the bottom line. And that imperative is now, it's been spreading around the world for a long time, but it's now becoming directly relevant to how people even consume food.
So to what extent are Americans starting to make healthier choices for real?
Well, if you look at, I think you can't just talk about Americans in general. I think this is connected to it, very importantly, to issues around education and to issues around class and to issues around income. So I think the more educated you are and the more money you have available to you, the more time you have. Again, it's not only to do with money, it's to do with time. The more time you have to be able to make these choices, then you're likely to make more healthy choices. The less time, the less money that you have, the more you're going to be reliant upon what the system as a whole around you provides in relatively easy ways. I think it's very uneven in terms of the choice, in terms of how Americans are starting to think about this. I think there's some segments of the population that are very, very highly motivated to think about food issues and to health issues. And there's other parts of the population that don't have that luxury. They don't have the time, they don't have the educational resources to be able to really make those same kinds of choices. But again, I mean, any kind of informed consumer is a danger to the food marketers. And I think we talked before about how, you know, they're using these labels around health to try and sell stuff that's not healthy. So the more Americans get aware of these things, the more issues around health will be used, not in a real way. They'll be used as marketing tools to sell us the same junk.
Sut Jolly is professor of communications at the University of Massachusetts Amherst. He's founder and executive director of the Media Education Foundation, and he's executive producer of the documentary Feeding Frenzy, The Food Industry, Marketing, and the Creation of a Health Crisis. It's a fabulous film, and it will be shown here in Santa Fe on Wednesday, the 2nd of April, that's tomorrow, at 5:30 at the Santa Fe Community College Jemez Rooms. And he will be here speaking and presenting the film. It's sponsored by the Santa Fe Community Foundation and the Media Literacy Project, which is one of those wonderful organizations that is addressing exactly the issues that we've been talking about. Sut Jolly, thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.